We have something in the church that many, many, many others do not. We are a small percentage of the population of this earth that has something in the church that many, many do not. I've told you before that whenever a funeral director calls me and says, "Paul, would you do a funeral? I have a family here. They need a clergyman." I never, never, never turn down that opportunity. If my schedule is open, I never turn down that opportunity. And I always begin to pray after the funeral director has called me that if there is someone there who has not heard the gospel, or if there is someone there who will never step foot inside a church, that they might be there at that service, whether it be family or friends. And I always, always, as Pastor Schauer does, I always present the gospel. Over 1,000 funerals I've been honored to do, and there is never a funeral in which I have not talked about Mary, Martha, Lazarus, in which I have not talked about Jesus saying, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And I always ask the question, "Do you believe in God?" And then I ask the question, "Do you believe his promises?" The central message is this: is your loved one in heaven or are they not? And the great premise, if God is real and if his promises are true, then there must be life after this life. And on Monday, that's what I shared at Kurtz Memorial Chapel for the Loving Foss family. And on Thursday, that's what I shared at Colonial. And on Saturday, yesterday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that is what I shared, that message. And I said to them, when you wake up tomorrow morning, it's one day closer to seeing your loved one again. I didn't notice her during the service. She was off to the side. But after the service, as I walked out some 15 or 20 minutes later, she was standing there by the door. And this is what she said. She said, "For the first time in 13 years, for the first day in 13 years, when my son died in that motorcycle accident, for the first time in all of these years, I have something I've never had before. I have peace. I have peace." I believe that God is real. I believe his promises are true. I believe that when I wake up tomorrow morning, it is one day closer to seeing my son again. Guided to the cross, guided to peace. You and I have something that most of this world does not. We believe in God. We believe in every single one of his promises. Whether it's forgiveness of sins that brings us peace, whether it's life after this life for our loved one which brings us peace, we are blessed. And God be with that dear lady as the days and weeks go by. I have peace. Why does she have peace? Let me read the text, John 14. Jesus is speaking. It's just before he goes to the cross. And he says this: the counselor, that's what he calls him, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. What will the Holy Spirit teach us? He'll teach us all things. He'll teach us that there is life after this life. The Holy Spirit will teach us that every one of God's promises are true, not 90% of them, but all of them. He will teach us that we're saved by grace through faith. He will teach us that when Jesus died on the cross and the curtain in the temple was torn in two, we had peace with God. There was no separation now. We could go into the Holy of Holies. We could stand in front of God and speak to Him. The Holy Spirit will teach us all things. He will teach us that storms will come into the world, and that doesn't mean that God has forsaken us. For this dear lady, it didn't mean that God had forsaken her when her son died in that motorcycle accident. The Bible teaches, the Holy Spirit teaches, when the storms come, God is with you in the midst of the storm, John 16. The Holy Spirit teaches you how to forgive others. The Holy Spirit teaches you how to forgive yourself. The Holy Spirit teaches you your purpose for being on this earth is not to fix your eyes on the things and the awards that you can see, but to fix your eyes on the things that aren't seen. The Holy Spirit uses God's Word, and He teaches, and He teaches, and He teaches, and He teaches some more. Does He ever stop teaching? Not till you close your eyes for the last time and enter heaven. Then He stops teaching because you're there in heaven. I know that this Easter, I'm stronger in my faith than I was a year ago because He's had another whole year to teach me. He teaches me through your life experiences that you share. He teaches me through that lady yesterday. I'll never forget that. He never stops teaching. Whatever you've gone through in the past year since last Easter until this Easter, you have to have grown in your faith. When the children in our school go to first grade and the second grade and the third grade and the fourth grade and the fifth grade and they move up the ladder, you always pray that their faith in God is stronger than it was the year before. Because they've had more teaching and they've had more experiences in life and they've had more opportunity to say, God is here. He teaches you. And then Jesus said this, the Holy Spirit, He will teach you all things and He will remind you, oh my goodness, He reminds you of everything I have said and everything I've done. He'll remind you. He'll remind you. Remember I said about a month ago, I was teaching in the fifth grade classroom, Katrina Kloss's room, and the subject matter was fear, how to overcome fear, and I asked the question to start the class period. I said, you guys, have you ever had an experience in your life? You're only 10 years of age. I don't expect you'll have the correct answer to this, but have you ever had the experience in your life where something happened and you knew God intervened? Did you ever have something happen in your life that you knew it was a miracle that God had sent? And I figured maybe one or two kids would raise their hands and maybe I'd have to do a lot of filling in, but half the class raised their hands. Half the class. The lesson plan went out the window because I went from one student to the next out of great curiosity. And I said, tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me. And the stories came forth from them. And every story they said, God. They didn't say good luck. They didn't say good fortune, whether it was a relationship with the parents or whether it was their own health or whether there was their life in danger. They didn't say that it was circumstance or good luck. They said it was God. We have a young man in this church who was quite ill some time ago, and he was hospitalized. And I think for the rest of his life, that young man is going to know that God intervenes. The hospital, yes. The infectious disease doctor, yes. Everyone else, yes. But it was God who intervened. And I told those students, get out a journal and start writing. Get out a journal and start writing. Because you can never forget what you've just told me. And 20 years from now, or 30 years from now, if you're going through some great trial, you can open up your journal and you can look and say, he was with me then when I was 8 years of age or 6 years of age. He was with me then. He's still with me now. The Holy Spirit reminds you when you're going through a storm, when darkness comes, Isaiah 9, you're walking in darkness or you're dwelling in darkness, a light has come. The light is in your journal where you've written about how God had come and did this miracle. The light is in your journal. And when you open up the journal and you look at what God has done in your past, that's the light that enters your darkness. Why do you have to write it down? Because when the darkness is really deep, you don't have time to look back. You don't have any energy to look back. You are focused so much on the darkness, the grief, the sorrow, the fear, the worry, that you don't have time to go back. If you write it down, it's brought back to your memory. This dear lady, for 13 years, living in grief every single day, believing that her son was dead, she would never see him again. I don't know who did the funeral. I don't even know if they had a service 13 years ago for that young man. But she didn't get to hear that God is real. And she didn't get to hear that every one of his promises, including 153 times, life after this life, she didn't get to hear it until the Holy Spirit brought it yesterday at Colonial Chapel. I gave her my phone number and my name, told her about this church, said, call me anytime. The Holy Spirit will remind you. In the book of Hebrews, it says, God's people gathered together for this purpose, to share the stories about God. At these funeral services, eulogies are given by sons or daughters or grandchildren. And I love it when eulogies are given because I get to know a whole lot more about that individual. The Holy Spirit reminds us about this individual called God, what he's done in our life. In the book of Hebrews 2,000 years ago, they're gathered to hear the stories about God. What do you and I do every Sunday? Pastor Sauer and myself, what do every Sunday? We share with you stories about God and Abraham and the disciples and everyone else. We share with you those stories. What do the children hear about every single day in our parochial school? What do they hear about every single day? They hear stories about God. The Israelites, Red Sea opens, right? 1.2 million Israelites are delivered. Greatest moment in 400 years. Miriam is singing her song, first song in the Bible. And the people are delirious with joy. 3 weeks later, what happens? They're in the wilderness, no water, no food. And they're shaking their fists at Moses. Why did you bring us out here, man? We had it pretty good in Egypt. We had three meals a day in Egypt. Why did you bring us out here to die? In 3 weeks, they've forgotten a miracle that every Christian knows about throughout all the centuries. In 3 weeks, they forgot about it. Why? Because they were in the darkness of we're going to die of thirst and hunger. They were in that darkness. and you don't think straight when you're in the darkness, the Holy Spirit reminds us and reminds us and teaches us and reminds us some more. The Holy Spirit. Twenty years ago, a young man came into my office, 30 years of age. Once again, I didn't know the family, but I was going to do the service. And when he came in, he was schizophrenic with anger and with grief. He came in with his uncle. He was an only child. Came in with his uncle. Mother had passed 3 years earlier. He was so angry, he said, "My father never had time for me. He was always busy, always busy, always busy, working 2, 3, 4 jobs. Never came to any of my games, never came to my wrestling matches, never read me stories. If I had a bad day at school, I'd come home and I'd talk to Mom, and I just stopped asking, 'Where's Dad?' because he was either gone or he was asleep. I heard my friends talk about their fathers, and I feel that I was cheated. But then the schizophrenia would come, and all of a sudden, grief, unimaginable. I loved him so much, he was my dad. And then the anger would return, and then the grief. After some half hour, he was all worn out. Nothing more to say. His uncle, his dad's brother, then spoke. I remember how quietly and softly the uncle spoke. He said, 'Tony, do you remember what happened every Sunday afternoon? Do you remember that every Sunday afternoon, your dad would take you to the state park? And you'd go fishing, you'd go in the boat, you'd go hiking. Dad would teach you about nature, you'd play softball with your dad. You remember that? I remember that because you'd always come by my house on Sunday night, you and your dad. And you would talk to me for the longest time about what you and your father had done that day.' He said, 'Do you remember that during the summer when the state fair would come? Your dad would circle that on the calendar on January 1st. And he would always make sure that he had 3 days off, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so that you and he and sometimes your mom could go to that state fair. Even though you didn't have a lot of money, he had always rent a motel so that you didn't have to make the 2-hour drive back and forth. Do you remember the state fair with your dad? Your dad would always tell me how delightful that time was spent with you.' And then the uncle shared with the boy something he had never known, because his dad and mom had never told him. The uncle said, 'Tony, when your dad was 14 years of age, his father had a stroke. And he dropped out of school because he, at age 14, had to run the family farm. And 5 years later, when they sold the farm, your father, not having much schooling, he could only find menial jobs, jobs that didn't pay very much. He wished he had had one job 40 hours a week, but he had to have 2 jobs and 3 jobs and sometimes 4 jobs in order to pay the bills. And the reason he was sleeping all the time, he was so tired because he worked all those jobs. And there were times that your dad would call me and say, 'I don't know if I can keep doing this. My health is being so affected and I have no time with my wife and my son.' Your father never told you that, did he?" Tony said, "No." And then he said, "Now I understand." And he looked up to heaven and he said, "I love you, Dad. Now I understand. He said it over and over again. Now I understand. I was so tempted to say to Eddie Damstra Saturday, I've had two funerals this week, got church tomorrow night. I was tempted, but I didn't. And there's the one lady in all of these years, all of these funerals, there's the one lady. Tony said to his uncle and to me and to himself, now I understand. And that lady said to me yesterday, now I understand. Because the Holy Spirit had come and he had done two things. He will teach you all things and he'll remind you of everything that I have done. And Jesus finished talking about the Holy Spirit by saying, my peace I will give to you. Not as the world gives peace, my peace I'll give to you, not as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Closing word, this world's peace is temporary. You buy the new car, you got a scratch on it 1 week later. Your dream trip to Hawaii, you're sitting there drinking a Mai Tai on Waikiki Beach, and you're saying to the person next to you, this is almost like heaven. And then a half an hour later, you're sitting there thinking about the stuff waiting for you when you get back home. This peace is temporary. How great it is when God lets you have those incredible moments. I got the scholarship. I got an advancement at work. I got a new car. My girlfriend said she'll marry me. How marvelous are those moments God allows us to have that are filled with joy. But peace on this earth, so temporary. When you drink the streams of living water, John 7:38, that Jesus brings, when you drink those streams of living water like the woman at Sychar's well, then you have peace. I did not think this morning, and I will not think this week. I wonder if that dear lady still has peace. I don't even think that because I know she does. And may that same peace be yours and mine. He dies on the cross for our salvation. He is raised from the dead 3 days later. And 40 days after that, he is raised to heaven in the ascension. And on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes. In our Savior's name, amen. Heavenly Father, take the promises of your word, which you do for us daily. Bring them past the ear and the brain and place them straight into our hearts. For if your promises are in our hearts, no matter what darkness comes, the light will shine and we will have peace. In our Savior's name, amen.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.